Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Call and give us your take and then get off the phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'm opting in. I'm not going anywhere. This is, I want to win here. And we did that this year, and I want to do it again.
Is David Dopnigan good for the Red Sox, Maz?
Not necessarily, no.
Murray, is it good for the Red Sox?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's good for him and his you know, long-term financial security. We know that.
I didn't ask if it's good for him. I asked you, is it good for the Red Sox?
Yeah, I don't know.
No, and I say not necessarily because there's a chance that it will be. But because the bottom line to me is this, that Chris Sale is up after next season, and if the Red Sox want to keep him, the money's going to be something close to what Price gets. 28, 32, I don't know, call it $30 million a year. Okay, somewhere in that neighborhood. You think there's any shot the Red Sox, after you know going into Forbes magazine or Fortune magazine, whichever one it was, and John Henry telling the world that paying players in their 30s is suicide in Major League Baseball, basically, and letting John Lester go, and then having to sign Price to replace him out of necessity, you think they're going to do it again? Sign another guy to $30 million contract a year?
I don't think they're going to. I don't think they should. I don't think you should. Whether you have the room under the tax or not. If you start having too many guys in their mid-30s making $30 million a year on the mound, that's a recipe for disaster.
It really is, especially when you don't have a farm system. I mean, like, again, Ed, and you got to include that part of it because you could say, well, you know what? They got all these young guys coming, so they could probably afford two $30 million pitchers because they can pay $500,000 at six other positions on the team. Not these guys. Not with what they have in the system. So to me, like I do, I look at it now and I say, if I'm them, I love Sale. We all do. But if I'm them, I don't negotiate with Sale this offseason. I don't.
And furthermore, if he's has a... I predict he's going to have a great year next year because this is walk year and he's been underpaid for years and this is one chance to crush it and he's going to set himself up to crush it. So he's going to have a great year. And you're going to want to re-sign him. Can you? With Mookie Betts going to be north of 30 and these other guys well north of 20 and Price locked in for the next 4 years at 30-plus... I don't know if there's room. Even if there is room, you can't have too many pitchers in their 30s making that kind of money. I think David Price opting in means Chris Sale's gone. I do. So is it good for the Red? I think it's bad. And it also, you know, complicates this year. You've got a little more room this year because a lot of young players are still on the year-to-year arbitration years and that sort of stuff. So you still have some wriggle room now, but Eovaldi's going to get paid. I want that guy back. Kelly's going to get paid. I think they're going to want him back. Still a lot of talent in that arm, and you saw what he's capable of. They still don't have a closer. Kimbrel's up, and I doubt they're going to re-sign him. Or they shouldn't. He's going to be a $15 million a year ball player. I'm not doing that with that guy.
No, I'm not paying Kimbrel. No way.
So they still got to sign Eovaldi. They still got to sign Kelly. They still need to sign a closer. Never mind anything else that you think of. Those are just the three top items. If Price's money were off the books, that'd be no problem.
Yeah, they'd be in much better shape, yeah.
So now it's like you got to sort of jump through some hoops, and now you got to start thinking about peeling things off.
No, they have hard decisions to make coming forward. I mean, they do. They have big, hard decisions coming in the short term and the longer, like within the next 12 to 14 months.
So, and I think you said this earlier, someone else did, but it's just a good way to look at it. Let's say David Price were not on your team. He were a free agent. Would you go and sign David Price as a free agent to a four-year, $127 million deal? He's 33 years old.
No.
No way would you. You'd say, no chance. You'd want nothing to do with that player or that contract, rather. Really, the contract. You'd want nothing to do with that contract. But that's essentially what's happening here. He's just signed a four-year, $127 million free agent deal on your team.
Correct.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know how you could say it's a good thing.
No, and again, the ramifications for the team are huge. You know, this isn't one of those where you just say, okay, fine, no problem, you keep him. Because now this is $31, $32 million that you have committed to the player over the next 4 years. And again, sales up. Sales up in a year. Typically, when there's a player you want to keep, you get him going into the final year. That's when you do it. And they're in a similar boat with Bogarts, essentially, because he's got 1 year left before he's a free agent. So now, but let's keep it to Sale and Price. You know, two left-handed front of the rotation pitchers, first or second starters. Either way, can you really pay two of those guys $30 million a year for 5 years?
Not if they're in their 30s, you shouldn't.
No shot. Like, I just can't imagine the Red Sox will do that.
So you mentioned it in the first block. Just to introduce it again. What's the solution?
The solution is you either let Sale go, you let him stay the year and you let him go, or you got to trade one of them. You got to trade Price. And like, you know, you look at it and say, well, we'll eat some of the money. You know, maybe we eat, call it $7 million of Price's salary, and that might be low, maybe 10 per year, and you trade him for $20 million to the Cardinals. You say, in other words, the Cardinals take on $20 million a year, and then you save. So now you've saved $20 million a season, and now you want Evaldi, you want Kelly, you want to keep those guys, you can do it. And you hope that in 2020, Jay Groom is over his Tommy John surgery and come up and pitch on the big leagues.
Well, you can also sign Sale then if he's worth
it. Well, that's right. No, right. But I'm talking about assuming you keep Sale and then you got to replace
him. I see, yeah.
Right? If you still want two lefties in there, how do you do it? So they're in a little bit of a pickle there. I mean, again, you know, I understand there's still some euphoria over the World Series, but the reality is baseball's offseason starts Monday.
You've come to Felgren Mas to really end the euphoria. So we'll make sure of that for you. Like I told you, we gave you a couple hours on Monday to revel in the thing, but now it's over. Euphoria is over.
No,
now
we'll bring you right back down.
Now it's back to earth. And David Price opting in is not good. Because, again, you would no way you would sign him as a free agent. No way you would sign him if you know, and I'm not even talking about the free agent variables of the market or wanting to be there or nationally. Even if you knew he would work here, even if you knew David Price would work here and is now over the hump and all those things, you're not signing 33-year-old pitchers to four-year, $31.5 million deals. It just doesn't. Kershaw, is he officially opted in or out?
We have not heard yet.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean.
But my guess is that's by tonight, too.
Yeah, well, it has to be. You know, 3 days from the World Series. That's right. A league rule, right? You know, if he opts in, that tells you that no one's willing to pay. No one's willing to give that contract. Why is David Price opting in? Because no one's willing to give him that money elsewhere. You better believe if someone else were willing to give him that or more, he'd opt out. Because that's just what they've always done. That's what these baseball players have always done. They've always opted out because the market's always gone up. On David Price, the market did not go up. It's not, I mean, yes, he likes winning here. I'm not telling you he hates it here anymore or anything like that. This is purely economic. If he had a chance to make more money or there was teams willing to give him that in the market, he'd opt out.
Sure.
So that by definition, it's a bad contract. It's a bad contract.
So the only variable with Kershaw, just quickly as a comparison, Kershaw's only 3 years left on his deal at $98 million. So in other words, if Kershaw were to hit the market and get a four-year, $120 million deal, it makes sense for him to go out.
So the AAV goes down, but
but he gets more guaranteed money. Yeah. Right, because under $100 million guaranteed over the next 3 years. So, look, but that aside, I mean, sorry to interject that variable. Like, the whole thing with Price complicates things for Sale. Dramatically, it complicates things for Sale.
Okay.
So, the only thing I will say is that a year ago, if you would ask me who's going to stay healthier over the next 3 years, I'd have said Sale. If you ask me the question now, who would you say?
Again, I'm going to still say Sale because I'm not going to fall into your recency bias. Which is what you're displaying right here with the recency bias. All of a sudden, Sale's damaged good, and Chris Sale is damaged goods, and David Price is a workhorse. All because of what we saw over the last month. Any other year, you'd say they're both very durable. They both make the turn every time because they do. They're both exceptionally durable pitchers. Except this year, Chris Sale got dinged up, and Price didn't. If you asked me this last year, where Price missed half the year.
Exactly. You say the opposite.
Exactly. So it's recency bias.
Maybe.
I think it's equal. Flip a coin. I think they're both pretty durable.
Okay, so again, if it's equal, though, then you can't sign them both because someone's going to get hurt.
Right, I'm not signing them both. I'm signing Sale over Price.
Yeah, I just think there is a small chance in this thing that Price is actually the better choice.
Who would you rather have for the next 5 years? I'd rather have Sale. I'd rather have Sale than Price.
I want to know more about that shoulder.
I don't think you can have both, and now that choice has been taken from them. It's David Price.
I want to know more about the shoulder because Price has a unique elbow.
Okay. And unless you can trade him, unless you can trade David Price, which you're positing there, and I think that will never happen. I don't think they would have the stones to do it. I don't think any team would. The guy pitches that way should be the World Series MVP, and you trade his ass off the duck boat? No way they're going to do that. No way. Not an option. It should be, but it's not. They're not going to do it. Just after he commits to them, they're going to say, see you later? No way. But it'd be smart.
It would be smart.
It'd be the smart thing to do. So there's your David Price take to lead off the program. We also got your Patriots thoughts on the board as well. Hope you enjoyed your parade. We don't want to talk about it. So if you got parade stories or on the streets of Boston stories, you have to go somewhere else with them.
Yeah, no. Stuff the parade.
No stories in general.
No stories, especially parade stories. Take those elsewhere. Otherwise, we'll take your calls on the Red Sox or the Patriots right after these words.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mass.
During the season, I will tell you, if you were going to start probably the night before or 2 days before, in October, we did it for the first few days, but then after that, it really didn't matter. I didn't have to text them. I didn't have to call them because they didn't care. They just wanted to show up, help everybody out, and win ball games. And think about it. The New York Yankees, yeah, the sky was falling. You know, we lost game two, and he was panicking here. Everybody was like, whoa, it's over. We scored 16 at Yankee Stadium. Suck on it.
Yeah, suck on it. Suck on it, Murray. Suck on it, Maz. Suck on it, Felger. Even though I never thought they were done in that
series. Yeah, suck it, Murray.
Sorry. I never thought they were done in that series. I remember showing up on Monday saying they're still in it.
Yeah, I think Shaughnessy did.
Yeah, some guys wrote him off.
Yeah, I mean, I'm picking on Shaughnessy now. I didn't even know. But my recollection is that Shaughnessy was worried about the team at the time. Well, you know, I was a little bit too.
Of course.
But I didn't write them off.
Why wouldn't you be worried? Of course you were concerned. They didn't play well that weekend. You were back in the playoffs. They didn't play well. I mean, that's just what happened. And no one made that up. But either way, suck it.
That's no, we blame you to Fleeger. Suck it.
Yeah, just suck it. Dan in Quincy joins us now. Hi, Daniel.
Two of the biggest downfalls of a team winning a championship and vying for a championship is that stupid parade. Tony, I'm with you on that.
Thank you.
And I'm sorry, Felger. All due respect to Mrs. Wood. The local footy pajama newsies that have to cover it, okay?
God.
And I feel bad for my brother. He's not a sports fan. He's got to turn on the news, weather, and sports just to get a bite of each. And he's got wall-to-wall coverage, especially Channel 7. They're the worst. Anyways, that's my rant. Thank God it's over. Thank God the parade's over. I'm glad they won. And you can take Halloween for adults. Thank God that's over after tonight, too. And that's it. That's my rant on that. But you just had the MVP speak on the tape there. Alex Cora, he was the most valuable person in this World Series. And I heard you guys ripping him for Game 3. The guy was a genius in Game 3. What was the problem with Game 3?
What was the problem with Game 3?
He gambled.
Yeah. Well, but I'm sorry?
He gambled.
I mean, if he gambled, you give his,
he it, gambled the whole postseason. He did nothing different. In any of the games that he managed, he did nothing different. That was the one thing he had, consistency.
Daniel,
he never wavered.
Daniel. In that game, you had Vasquez and Leon playing the last however many innings, getting multiple at-bats, and Andrew Benintendi got one at-bat in that game. You think
that's
that was properly managed?
The only criticism I have of him in the game was the Benintendi
situation. So you agree with
situation.
Me on that. Very good.
One thing.
I picked the right one, then.
What about running for J.D.?
You know something, Tony? You got to manage for 9 innings.
No, you
okay?
don't.
First of all, you're in a National League park. You're going to utilize more players in a National League park than you are in an American League park. And, of course, you're going to use a lot when you're playing 18 innings. He had the team, top of the 13th, ahead 2-1, and I heard you criticizing him for pitching to Puig instead of Barnes. He got the ground ball to second. The guy didn't make the play. And Hall of Famer Humphrey, by the way, left the bases loaded in that inning. Every game they won, They were ahead slim margins, and they had a big hit to open the game up. And that was the only game they didn't open the game up, and they had a chance to do it. He had the game won, four straight. Genius! He knows his players. He communicates with his players. Eduardo Rodriguez. I heard you mocking him for starting him as well, Tony.
No, I didn't mock him for that decision. Keep him in. You don't think he kept him in too long in the next game?
Yeah, he kept him in too long. But the start, I had every bit of confidence that he was going to give him a good game. You know why? He was a better pitcher this season than Porcello was. Okay, the month of July, lights out. He had three starts, pitched 5 2/3 innings average, gave up no earned runs, and then he got hurt. Set him back.
Danny, I'm going to let you go at 2.5.
Porcello wasn't an option. I mean, what the hell are you talking about, better starter than Porcello? Like, Porcello started game three. He wasn't. I get that right? Yeah, right. Because he ended up bringing Eovaldi in relief.
That's right.
Yeah. So look, my issue with Rodriguez, and this plays into the whole thing, by going to Eovaldi, which again, in and of itself, it's fine if it works, but if it blows up on you, you now have to start a guy in game four that you didn't have any confidence in the postseason. Maybe you did, Danny, but they didn't. And they got five innings out of Rodriguez, as it turned out, so Corey, you could say, was right, and then he left him in the game. He left him in the game, Danny. And even Cora admitted that that was a mistake. So if he can admit it, you should be able to admit it.
Yeah, and no one's saying he sucked. He made way more right decisions than wrong ones. But to sit there and say they did everything right is silly.
And I'm sorry, you don't take your best hitter out of a tie game. You don't do it.
To pinch run at first base, not in scoring position, first base.
You ended up giving three at-bats to Kinsler in that game, which is as many as Martinez got. Three.
Shane and Taunton. Hi, Shane.
Hi, how you doing? I just wanted to comment on Price. I don't like that he bought in my my thing is, my concern is that the two games against the Dodgers, he claims like he got the monkey off his back, and that's how people are taking it. But I feel like you know, like the Yankees series, you think he was out in like the first inning, and then Houston, they had out like the third or fourth inning, and they had to put him in the bullpen. And then when it came to the Dodgers, I just think that every pitcher we had, the Dodgers just couldn't hit. I think the Dodgers made him look good.
So you're saying that his postseason run was a little overrated?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to leave it at that. You think it's a little overrated? He still has to beat the Yankees. I mean, I'll give you that. Like, he hasn't gotten over the Yankee hump yet.
Yeah, and he also ignored the second outing against the Astros.
Was really good.
Yeah, sensational. In fact, I would say it was his best game, the clinching game against Houston. He was dynamite in that game. I mean, that was his close to perfect to me as you can pitch. He was living on the corners that game.
So, right, picking up on this. I didn't want him to opt in. I don't think it's good that he opted in. I would trade him. There's no chance they're going to, like, all that. But I'm not basing any of that on, you know, something that he did or did not do. He proved himself this year. Like, that's over. Like, he's a great pitcher. He can pitch in a big game. He can handle this market. He can handle the pressure. I'm not going back on any of that stuff. He proved it. He shut us all up, so he's there. My assessment is purely he's 33 years old, and you're going to pay a guy $31, $32 million a year for the next 4 years, and at the end of each of those seasons, he will be 34, 35, 36, and 37. That, you would never do that from scratch.
No.
You would never sign David Price as a free agent to that contract right now, no matter what kind of season he just came off of. That's only it. It's the contract and his age. I'm not second-guessing anything he does on the field.
Yeah, look to me, again, I just think now this puts him in a little bit of a bind with Sale. Like, now what do? You're going to go out and give Sale $30 million a year, too, and have two 30-year-old starters in 2 years? That's what you're going to do? Making $30 million a year? I just can't. I can't see where that works. I can't see how that works.
They didn't want to do it once.
And with regard to Price, let's not forget that in that final Houston game, he went against Verlander, and that was a 1-0 game in the middle innings. I mean, there was no margin for error in that game. And then in the World Series game, he gave up a hit to fall behind 2-1, but when he got the lead back, Cora kept him in the game and he shut them down. So there were lots of opportunities for him to fall apart.
And he got up every single day in the bullpen, it felt like. Every day he was ready to go. So, no, nothing but respect for what he just did. Not taking anything away from him. I don't like his age. Now that's the new thing I don't like. He's old. What was I just going to say? Oh, do you think the Red Sox wanted him to opt in?
No. Deep down, no. They would never admit it, but no.
Now it makes things more difficult for them.
They wouldn't want the contract. Again, they would never... No, Fact, no one would give him the contract. Otherwise, he would have opted out and go and gotten it.
Correct.
So it's not just a Red Sox thing. No one would give him that contract from scratch right now.
In fact, I'm not sure anyone would give him anything close. Like, one of the things I wondered this morning is, let's just say he could go out on the market and get 4 years and 100. Just call it 100, 25 a year. I think Price might take that. I think he might actually give up $27 million over 4 years.
The union wouldn't.
Well, so that's true. The union wouldn't. I mean, but Price himself, he's already made, I looked it up the other day, he's made $145 million in his career. He could pocket another $100 million, and so he'd give up $27 over 4 years to leave Boston. I bet he'd do it. I bet he would do it. And the union wouldn't. You're right about that. But I bet he'd do it. I don't even think that was out there.
Jamie in Fitchburg, hi.
Going on. So I'm just calling about David Price. I'm not exactly sure that he opted in, but I have kind of a silver lining, rubs me the wrong way. But now that he comes into this year after, you know, with some confidence, I think that that might make him, you know, be pitch well and have a better pitcher this year. And lastly, on Chris Sale, I love the guy, but I mean, just with his frame, I mean, he looks, I mean, I think Gandhi on his hunger strike was a little quicker than him.
He does not look like a guy who can hold up. I mean, and just the delivery on top of it. I mean, that whiplash delivery on top of the rail thin physique is like, how does he do it? But he's pretty much done it. He has. This is the 1 year he didn't really finish.
No, that's true.
So, I mean, I don't know. If I'd asked you this a year ago, who's more durable? You'd say Chris Sale 100 times out of 100 because David Price was coming off an injury last year. Now this year, it's Sale, not Price. But I think they're roughly the same guy in terms of durability.
I know. I worry about that shoulder now. I want to know more.
Well, to your point, looking at their numbers from 2012 to now, Chris Sale's only started seven more games than David Price, 207 to 200.
It's the same guy.
Yeah. And the earned run average is kind of close, too. Sale 291, Price 320.
Again, as Carmine and Alex Spear would say, you are suffering from recency bias. And I am able to rise above that and look at the bigger picture.
So if his arm got
fair,
so, yeah, so if his arm got chopped off, that would be recency bias.
Yes, I don't factor what happened today. I look at the whole picture, Maz. Here's Murray's update, and then we're right back.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Every afternoon, it's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Really is a difference maker.
Woo. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
I personally want Aaron Rodgers to demand a trade from the Green Bay Packers at the end of this season. I want him out. He doesn't deserve, this organization does not deserve Aaron Rodgers. I know you got a new GM. It ain't Ted Thompson anymore. You're President Mark Murphy. This guy Gutekunst is his name pronounced. I understand you got rid of Ty Montgomery. I don't blame you. He didn't need to be in the locker room. I understand you want to complain about
Clinton Dix.
I get that because after all, he did miss a lot of tackles. They counted at least seven against him thus far. He's missed some coverages, some passes, touchdowns, at least three. He was accountable for. We get all of that. Gave up too much stuff in the middle of the field. We get all of that. Clinton Dix ain't what he was in 2016. Probably because he didn't want to be there any longer because he's sick and tired of this damn organization. You look at the Green Bay Packers. They clearly make the choice with every move they make. We ain't got nothing to worry about. We got Aaron Rodgers. Now, I'm one of those guys who believes you take care of your stars. You take care of your stars, particularly when your stars are the ones that care and put in the work. They ain't just relying on their abilities. They're not just relying on their cachet. They put in the work. They show up. They represent. The number one order of business is to take care of Aaron Rodgers. They don't do it.
All right, so that's Stephen A. Smith today. I just thought I'd play that for you because whatever we're saying here about the Patriots and Tom Brady, and a lot of people feel the same way about Brady and the Patriots. Left him out to dry, didn't surround him with enough talent. Murray feels this way about the Patriots this year and how they've managed the roster. They say the same thing about Rodgers and Green Bay. And, you know, at least here, you won five, you've gone to eight. Like, I don't know if you've maximized Brady. I mean, could you, with a few more bucks spent here or there, or a little better roster management here or there, because you've gotten one or two more, maybe. But hard to really complain around here, folks.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. It's tough to complain about that. But it does feel thin this year. And, okay, like the draft picks get injured, and there's really nothing you can do about that. But this trade deadline to do nothing, and never even mind offensively, to do nothing defensively, just in terms of depth for linebacker. Again, I brought this up yesterday, late in that game against Buffalo on Monday, when Alandon Roberts, who's not even really that good to begin with, is in the tent getting looked at. Nicholas Grigsby, a special teamer, is out there getting snaps. That can't happen. Like, you got to go get something else, just even if it's just another guy in terms of depth. And they did nothing. Like, that, I don't know how you can't be bothered by that.
Okay, so it's worse in Green Bay because he's been to one Super Bowl. And that is an all-time talent. He ain't Brady, you know, but he is an all-time player. And they've wasted him. And he's partly responsible. You know, running around out there like a jackass getting hurt every other year doesn't help the cause either. So he's put him behind the eight ball, too. They missed the playoffs last year because he's hurt for over half of it.
So the only other thing I would ask, and you tell me, because I know you don't believe in the cap, but Brady has worked with the Patriots on his deals. Has Rodgers?
Not as much. I mean,
his last deal was massive, wasn't
massive,
it?
Through the roof. So, yes. Previously, I don't know. I'd have to go back and look at it. I don't know if he's ever been the highest paid. But it hasn't been Brady. He hasn't given money back like Brady. But they've had plenty of money there. That's not the issue. It's the coaching. They McCarthy had success early on there. He went to the NFC title game with Favre in 07. That was him. And then he won the Super Bowl in 11. And it's like, oh, this guy can do it all. He's the magic man. And, you know, 6-7 years later, when he's clearly not, he's still like riding that wave, which is just, you know, that's the issue to me in Green Bay. But we'll be talking more about that in the next couple days because Brady Rodgers is on the table Sunday night in Foxborough. Should be a good one. Let's go back to your phones. Red Sox and Patriots. Jim in Connecticut. Hi, Jim.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
As I've got an idea, it'd take a lot of stones on Dombrowski's part to do it. But if he were to trade Mookie Betts, who, if he has another year next year like he did this year, is going to be the highest paid player in baseball.
Yep.
Is he could probably solve his farm system, is he could get like 6 or 7 real good.
Let me stop you right there. Would you consider this, Jim Murray? Would you consider trading Mookie Betts to alleviate your payroll problems, maybe your system problems? Would you do it?
Yeah, if it means we're getting someone back like a Jake DeGrom or like a frontline starter, yes. And it's because of the postseason numbers, and it's not a small sample size anymore. I brought it up. It's now 5 series in 3 years, and he hit .217 in the World Series, .217 in the ALCS, and 4 RBI total overall. Like, from a guy that's going to win the MVP this year, that's a big sample size that shows you this guy is not that good in the postseason. Love the defense. Love the player. He's my favorite on the team. He's an asses in seats type of player, too. He's someone that's marketable. But
are you willing to say this is who he is now as a postseason performer?
Mike, it's now...
It's 100 plate appearances, basically. Yeah.
It's 3 years.
It's 3 years. I don't know. That's not... I don't know. I wouldn't give up on that.
So, look, I'm not ready to give up on it either, and I don't think they will.
They're not going to, but I think we can have this conversation. You know, a lot of people freaked out because Saturday morning after that near 8-hour marathon, and I was pissed because he was putrid in that game. And time and again, he gets up. At one point, 13th inning, bases loaded, and he swings the first pitch, and it's a meek pop-out. Like, stop it. And he went 0-for-7 that night, and Bogarts goes 0-for-8. He was awful. He wasn't really that good in that series. He wasn't really that good in the ALCS. I think it's time we have a conversation with Mookie Betts. Like, he's more Alex Rodriguez in the postseason than he... Jackie Bradley Jr. was better than him this postseason.
Strong commentary.
It is. Jackie's right. Jackie Bradley Jr. was a better postseason player this year than Mookie Betts was. He was. Fact. And you know, to me, the game that Murray's talking about, 0-for-7 with a walk, and the time he reached, they put him on intentionally. He didn't even have anything to do with it.
He's just looked tight for 3 straight years in the postseason. And again,
he got pitches to hit, too.
MVP. I get it. A lot of talent there. But I think it's fair to have a real conversation about this guy and how he performs in the postseason, or lack thereof.
They won't do it, though. They won't. He means too much to them.
No, because he's marketable, too.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
He means too much to them. They won't do it. But they're going to have to do something with somebody because there's no way they can keep all these guys.
Jeff and Methuen, hi.
Hey, guys. Just real quick on Cora. You know, he might turn out to be a good manager in all aspects of the game, but I think for right now, his two biggest strengths were that his players like him and his bullpen showed up. So that's the first thing. The second thing is the Red Sox knew when they signed Price that only an idiot is going to opt out of a $30 million a year contract for 4 years at age 33. So I got to think that they had a backup plan in place And a follow-up question to that is winning the World Series with Price for 1 year worth that contract?
Yeah, it's worth the 3 years for sure. If he only wins 1 in 7 years, is it worth it?
I don't know. I need to see what it looks like. If he pitches well and it's not his fault, then yes. But I was thinking about this on the way in today. Is it already worth it? My answer is no.
No, the 3 year sample is for sure,
but not the 7.
Yeah, now that he's opted in,
we'll see. We got a ways to go on that. And the thing is, they knew he was going to opt in. I don't know about that. When they signed him, every single player that had an opt in or opt out had opted out. Every single one. Now, I think since then, in the last couple of years, guys have opted back in because the market has changed. But when they first signed him, and it was 11 for 11, players who had opt-out clauses all opted out.
I think that's right.
So, I don't know. I bet you when they signed it, they were secretly hoping, if not overtly hoping. Do the 3 years and opt out. That's where everyone's a winner.
And that should tell you, by the way, that he didn't really want to be here. You know, that let me see what it's like for 3 years, and then I'll get out.
Okay, we're going to break here because we have what I've been told is an epic final word. Every single year on Halloween, Hardy does an update to the Monster Mash, which is absolutely one of the most brilliant creative things that happens on this radio station on a yearly basis. He did it again today. You do not miss it. It is absolutely fabulous. Maz had some parade commentary that is just simply not to be missed. And we have some other things as well for surprises. So a big final word next.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Maz.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire.
Ooh, buddy.
The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
No one.
Nobody.
Nope.
So before we get to the fun stuff, I wanted you guys to hear this because this is starting to go viral this afternoon. Matt Patricia, formerly defensive coordinator of the New England Patriots, now head coach of the Detroit Lions. You all know how he looks, right, Maz? You think he pretty much looks like a slob, right?
Yeah, freaking slob.
Today, at his midweek press conference, someone got a little testy. You know why? He didn't like how a reporter was sitting.
He was slouching.
Slouching. Slouching. So here's Matt Patricia halting his press conference today to scold a reporter about his posture.
Do me a favor. Just kind of sit up and just, like, have a little respect for the class. Every day you come and ask me questions, and you just kind of, like, give me this. But, I mean, just be a little respectful.
Okay, that's
so
fine.
Ask me a question professionally, and I'll answer.
Okay, why do you feel like this move makes your franchise better?
All right, well, I think, what's important for us is when we...
And blah, blah, blah. If you guys, as former beat guys, if Belichick or any other coach stopped his press conference to scold you on your posture, how would you react to that? I thought this was so unprofessional and such an a-hole thing. That's the only reason I wanted to play it, because I can't believe he did this today.
I mean, I don't know that I've ever seen it.
I mean, me neither.
I mean, if you're going to start picking on sports writers for the way they sit and talk and dress,
and say,
you never say anything about the game.
Have some respect for the process.
Oh, my God. Meanwhile, take a bath, Matt. Get in the bathtub once. I mean, of all the people... You're talking about, showing some respect to the process and how you show up to work. Give him this guy?
Yeah, well, at least he wears his hat forward now.
Freaking Blutarski?
Yeah.
Is the one given, like,
Hagrid.
Oh, my God.
It was just very much a pot meat kettle type of moment, I thought.
Yeah. Totally.
Do you have the clown nose t-shirt on?
Right.
Right. Yeah, there
you go. Yeah, good
too.
Point, Jim. Jimmy.
Thanks, Ant.
Okay, so here we go. So let's, as you know, the Red Sox won the World Series. People fired up about it. We got the most Felger and Maz phone call maybe ever today from Matt and Quincy.
As Maz said, this should be a Felger and Maz problem. This should stand for our show. Matt and Quincy, your thoughts?
Great year, all that. So I think Mookie Betts is a problem. His playoff numbers.
By the way, just what a great Felger and Maz call. Great year, all that. Okay, Mookie Betts, I think he's a problem. Like, that's just...
No, I would grab that and use it as a drop.
That is right in our alley. Go ahead, Matt. I'm sorry.
His OPS over these last couple of years, he's got 88 at-bats. It's about a 640. The guy who doesn't have a 640 OPS and is a free agent is a guy named Bryce Harper. He's got about an 804, I think, OPS. in his couple of years, and he has about 10 or 11 left at bat. The Mets, they need offense. They always need offense. Arbitration years, a couple more for Mookie, a couple more for Jacob DeGrom. Mm. I don't know if it could ever happen, but if you could send him over there to the Mets, and then you could sign Bryce Harper, that fixes pitching, because you can probably get rid of Price in sales in a couple of years.
So, Matt, I mean,
I could kiss this guy.
yeah, great year, blah, 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 all of that. Mookie Betts, we got to trade this guy.
Great year, all that. So I think Mookie Betts is a problem.
I agree with all of that.
I'm telling you, just the last like 5 or 6 words. I think Mookie Betts is a problem.
I think Mookie Betts is a problem.
Yeah, the MVP. All right, anyway.
And again, with all the winning from the Red Sox this year and then winning the championship, we get the parade today. How did Maz feel about the 2018 World Champion Red Sox parade? Kind of like the other parades.
I didn't go in 04 to the parade. I remember the paper saying to me at the time, when I got home, you want to cover the parade? I'm like, what? Are you high? No. Go to hell. I'm not covering that stupid-ass parade. Have fun. I remember my whole family get together. My sister has an apartment downtown. It was over the parade route. So they all went to my sister's on the balcony to watch the parade. I said, in cold, freezing weather? Go screw yourself. I'm going home. I'm taking a nap. I have wanted nothing to do with the parade. It is. It's a bunch of these jackasses out there on the street screaming and yelling like, yeah, there's Brazier. I see Brazier. Why is he tilting his head? How come Brazier's still tilting his head? Is something wrong with him? Oh, my God, there's Mookie. Hi, Mookie. Hi. Yeah, Sal. Yeah, you're the man. Sal, where's Evaldi? I want to yell to Evaldi. Oh, my God, I love Benintendi's hair. I love it. Look at his hair. He's so cute. He's got nice bums. He's got nice buns. I like Benintendi. Yeah, I want to party with Nunez. I think Nunez is smoking a cigar. Look at him. He's on the back there. See him? He's smoking a cigar. I want to party with Nunez. Oh, my God. JD's so handsome in person. Look at him. He's beautiful. Oh, my God. He's beautiful. I love him. Yeah, I hope they didn't invite Kimbrel. I don't want Kimbrel on the boats. Don't let the Kimbrel there. Or if they do, if they go into the child, someone should push him off the boat. Seriously. Oh, my God, Miss Swihat, he's so cute. Please, go to hell with that. Okay, go have your fun, okay? I'm worried about how they're going to fit Sale on the roster next year.
Exactly. Right, if you're at the parade, don't call us. We don't want to hear your story.
I'm way, way ahead of you.
Call someone else and tell them your story. We don't do parades.
Yeah, why is Brazier tilting his head like that? You think he's got a pinched nerve?
That is just so wonderful.
Seriously, you notice that about Brazier, the way he tilts his head on the
line? Of course, yeah.
I mean, that's a little weird, don't you think?
Yeah, whatever it takes.
I think he's got a little psycho thing going there. He's a little nuts. I kind of like that.
Yeah, again, you can maybe make the case that him telling the fat catcher there in New York to get that
Sanchez,
that was kind of the impetus for those guys finding their sack.
Absolutely.
Okay, so Paul Perillo, Patriots Football Weekly, made his appearance.
Oh,
means it's a Sunshine Day.
This is unbelievable.
Got a request to sing Sunshine Day as Batman villain Bane.
So, this is great.
As always, I will dance for the people.
Check, check. All right, are you ready to sing? Let's go. I think I'll go for a walk outside now. The summer sun's calling my name. I hear you now. I just can't stay inside all day. I got to get out, get me some of those rays. Everybody's smiling, sunshine day. Everybody's laughing, sunshine day. Everybody seems so happy today. It's a sunshine day. Speak of Perillo and he shall appear. Ah, yes, I was wondering what would break first. Your belt or your body? Theatricality and deception. Powerful agents to the uninitiated. But we are initiated, aren't we, Paul? Members of
like
Patriots Football Weekly. And you betrayed us.
Hey, Paul.
That's so good.
Wow.
I don't think you like that fat job. But see, I'm not the one saying it. It's Bane.
I'm
doing characters.
Characters.
I'm a says characters. Okay, and finally, let's hear from Hardy. And this
is
year's
it. This is huge.
Monster Mash headlines, him, Zoe, Beetle for 2018.
Now, here's the 98.5 Sports Hub headlines.
The Red Sox paraded in their boats like ducks and got a nice send-off from Governor Chuck. Fans and players consumed many beers, and David Price is staying for four more years.
He'll earn some cash.
He'll earn some monster cash.
He'll earn some cash.
He decided not to dash.
He'll earn some cash.
Another thing for the vulture to trash.
He'll earn some cash.
He'll earn some monster cash.
Wow.
Last night, two Boston teams were looking alive. Wow. The Celtics beat the Pistons 108-105. Wow. The Bruins won in Carolina by a score of 3-2. Wow. But where's the next place they're traveling to?
They'll play in Nash.
The game is Saturday in Nash.
They'll play in Nash.
The Predators don't look like trash.
They'll play in Nash.
Yes, Nashville is Nash.
They'll play in Nash.
They'll play Saturday in Nash. Now the Patriots could be facing a terrible fright against the Green Bay Packers this Sunday night. Aaron Rodgers could make things a true living hell. If you want to win, Tom.
We're going to have to play really well.
Headlines are brought to you by Spectrum. Ooh, hiring field technicians, that sounds like fun. Jobs.spectrum.com if you want to apply. More headlines at 1 o'clock if we all don't die.
Means you can't cover.
Man, that Bert Breer laugh really is like Vincent Price.
Oh, that's perfect. Hardy, unbelievable job by Hardy every year.
Sensational,
yearly
really.
Tradition here at 98.5 The Sports.
Felger and Maz.